All right, so we are holding on Mem Aleph on the day's sixth line, or on the Mekomri. Okay, we learned yesterday that we had a Braisa with two Machloikas in between Reb Shimon and the Chachamim. Remember that in our Mishnah we had a Machloikas, Reb Shimon and the Chachamim, whether if a woman gives birth by C-section, whether it's considered to be, is it considered to be a birth or not, a regular birth or not. Reb Shimon says yes, therefore she has regular Yimei Tumah and Tahara. The Chachamim say no. So we had a braisa that mentioned, first of all, a machloikas. Suppose that she has dam koshi, the blood. The Chachamim learned from the Chachamim learned from Tazria that it has to be machim from Azra, and Reb Shimon learned from Caleb that any kind of birth is even if it's a rat. Okay, anyway, so we had a braisa then where we had first of all, what happens if she had dam koshi for 3 days before the birth? So now in the previous parak we learned that fine, dam koshi is not tome. During the days of Ziva, it doesn't make her tome because Dama v'loy machnas v'lam. But over here, the 3 days of Koshi, it ended up the baby was born by C-section. So the Chachamim say, in that case, she's tome from Ziva because there's nothing that can be considered a birth, la'halacha, and therefore it's just regular Ziva. Reb Shimon says she's tahor for the same reason, because he holds there is a birth, so therefore you have the usual... Well, in other words, the Svara, in other words, is that there's Dam Koshi, and then Dam Koshi, and Dam Koshi, we know previously, is Tahor, because there was a baby. Right? Then we had a second Machloikas in the Braisa. What happened, we said, if blood came out of there? So the Chachamim said Tomei, and Reb Shimon says Tahor. So we have to figure out what we mean by there. So first we had Ravina's explanation that it means the blood came out vaginally, whereas the baby came out by C-section. But Rabbi Yosef says that in that case, first of all, that's the same thing as in the Reisha, and second of all, Misham implies that the blood and the baby came out from the same place. So Rabbi Yosef says rather that no, the machlokas between them is not whether she's tome for 7 days as a result of the blood. The machlokas is she tome for 1 day for touching the blood? Do we say makor makoyme tome? Do we say that the womb itself is a place of tumah, and therefore the blood that touches the womb and then comes out is tome? The Chachamim say yes, Reb Shimon says no. Because Reb Shimon says that, we don't hold of this concept of makor makoyme tome. Makor means the womb, makoyme tome, the place of it is tome. In other words, therefore, blood that like passes through the womb, unless it's like from an injury or something, that's something else, but other than that, we say... That's what I'm saying. Other than that, except that, but other than that, even when you have blood that's coming out of the womb, which is not going to be metame her for 7 days, because for example, in this case, it didn't come out vaginally. Nevertheless, we can say that blood in and of itself is tome, and therefore it's like any other source of tuma of touching, where a person touches it and they're tome for a day. Okay. So continuing on that discussion, Amar Rish Lakish, L'divrei hametame b'dam metame b'isha. The Rish Lakish says the opinion that says that the blood is tame would also say that the woman is tame. And the one who says the blood is tahor would say that the woman is also tahor. Which means Rashi and Tosfos both say that what it means is that Rish Lakish is disagreeing with what we just said. We just said Rabbi Yosef's explanation was that we're talking about the blood came derech dofen, and both of them agree that she's not tome for 7 days because of it. The only machlokas is that she's tome for 1 day. Rish Lakish, according to that, is saying that no, that the fact is, even though it came derech dofen, Rish Lakish would still say, the Chachamim who say that the blood is tome, because makor makoyme tome, would actually make her tome for 7 days because of it. They would treat it as if it was actual nidah or zava blood, even though it did not come out vaginally, it came out through the body wall. And whereas Reb Shimon, who says that it's tahor, would say that she's tahor altogether. That's Rish Lakish's understanding. So according to that, then he's arguing. So he would say that the Chachamim are saying that it is considered to be blood that came out. It is blood that came from the womb. Yes, it came derech dofen. I don't care, says Rish Lakish. The Chachamim would say that Tomei would consider it like a regular Re'iyas Nidah, even though it came derech dofen, and therefore they would consider her to be tamei not just for 1 day, like Rabbi Yosef says, but for 7 days. Fully, like a full-fledged nidah, exactly. Whereas Rabbi Yosef has said that even the Chachamim are only going to be Mitamer her for one day, but Rish Lakish is disagreeing with that. Whereas according to Rabbi Shimon, we would say that she's not Tame at all, or maybe at most she's Tame. Maybe we'd say she's Tame one day because Makom Kaim Tame, but the Loshen Tahora would seem to imply that he would say she's completely Tame. Anyway, that's how Rashi and Tosfos learn. You have other Rishonim. You have the Ritva and the Ran and some other Rishonim that say that no, we are talking about that it's coming through the Dosen. So he would say that the other way around, Reb Shimon would be the one who's saying that she's Tomei, because he would say, look, just like the baby coming out is still considered a regular birth, so also she would be Tomei in the same way. Whereas the Chachamim would be saying that she's Tahor. So that's according to the Ran and the Ritva and some other Rishonim learn that way. How we learn Rish Lakish, right? But according to that, then we are talking about that it's coming derech doifen, because after all we do have the word misham. So it's not like, in other words, the other way of looking at it might have been to say that Rish Lakish is going back and say to Ravina's explanation that we're talking about it came out vaginally. But no, we're agreeing with Rashi and with Tosfos that we are talking about it came out through the body wall. But Rish Lakish holds that Reb Shimon would say blood that comes out through the wall is tummy. So it's tummy, and so is she. Okay. So you'd be disagreeing with Rabbi Yosef's position that it would only be a matter of makom makom tummy. Okay. But Rabbi Yochanan Omar Achla Divra Amatami Bedam Matari Beisha. Rabbi Yochanan would say no. Even the Chachamim and the Braisa who say that the blood is tummy, they would agree that the woman herself is tahor. They would say the blood itself is a source of trauma. Fine, you touch it, you become tame. But she's not, unless she actually touches it. So Rabbi Yochanan goes according to his own svara. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan Meshum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yichai. A minayin she'en isha tmeya ad she'yetze midva derech ervasa. How do we know that a woman is only tame as midva or zava only if the midva comes out through her erva, meaning vaginally? Midva can mean one of two things. It means either flow or it means a sickness. So if a flow would be a simple meaning, the sickness actually explains in a couple of places in his Pirush on Chumash that often when a woman is nidah or zava, she feels various physical aches and pains, and whenever we talk about it briefly in the first perek, she may be shaking, she may have stomach cramps, whatever. So anyway, the point is that Rabbi Yochanan says, in the name of Rabbi Shimon Yochai, how do we know that she's only tamei only if midva, only if the blood that makes her nidah or zava only comes out through the erva, through vaginally, shenema, because the pasuk says the isha sheyishkav is isha dava. The pasuk says if a man has relations with a woman who is dava, meaning again nidur is dava, midva is the same shor, that's right. The gila as ervasa, and he uncovers her erva as makoda hera. He uncovered her mocker, her womb. So by calling it ervasa, by saying dava, and then saying the gila as ervasa, nolama chain isha tmeyan sheyetsa midva derech ervasa. So from there we learn that for her to be dava, it has to be that it came out through ervasa. Through her erva, through her vaginal. So, in other words, that's what we're saying. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying, even the Chachamim, who say that the blood itself is Tomei on the grounds of Makor Mekayim Tomei, they would agree that she's not Tomei Tumas Shiva from it. Rabbi Yochanan, what he's saying then, basically like Rabbi Yosef, that you can discuss Makor Mekayim Tomei, the blood itself may be Tomei, but not that it's going to be Mitamei her for 7 days. To be a Nidur or Zava, it would have to be that the blood comes out vaginally. Okay.
Which
in this case it didn't, because it came out through the joint. Okay. If what? Well, then I guess whatever comes vaginally is matamehur. All you need, as we said in the Mishnah, is a mustard seed size, or even less than that, is matamehur. Okay. More on this topic, more related to him. Amr Ishlakish Mishrim of Yehuda Nesia. Mocker Shenekav Nafala Aret. Suppose that the womb itself, the mocker, suppose that a piece of it became uprooted and fell onto the ground. So you have a case. You have prolapse. You have various kinds of prolapses where it falls out completely or partially. So in this case, you have a chunk of it actually fell down onto the ground. So he says, Tanea, that piece itself is tummy. Again, it won't make her nida necessarily unless there was bleeding accompanying it, but the piece itself is mitami. Chenema, as the Pasuk says, Yani, the Pasuk in Yechezkel, Yan he shofet nechushtech vatigole ervoset. You have a Pasuk over there, part of a long nevuah, criticizing the Jewish people for worshipping Avodah Zarah and otherwise being unfaithful to Hashem. So the expression in the Pasuk over there, because nechushtech was poured out, and we'll explain in a second what nechushtech mean, and your erva was revealed. So we see that nechushtech, as we're going to explain in a second what that means, is called erva. So therefore, it's considered as if it was still in its place, and therefore it's metame. What is nechushtech? Rashi explains, the word nechushtech means literally your bottommost part. So you have, for example, Rashi mentions that you have a couple of different places in Shas where you have the word nechushta, meaning, for example, the bottom of an oven. The bottom of an oven can be called nechushta. Literally, nechushta would mean it's copper, because like pots in those days, we usually made it copper. Yeah, melosh nechushta, because copper, because pots, for example, usually in those days had copper bottoms. But for that reason, the word nechushta means the bottom of something, the lowest extremity of something. Because copper was usually the lowest part of the pot. So therefore, in terms of the pasuk, therefore we can be saying so some mafoshim on the pasuk explain that there doesn't necessarily mean some of the mafoshim explain that nechushtech means your bottom, but others explain that it means like your filthiness or whatever is being poured out, like everybody can see what disgusting averus you're doing. But whatever, the point is the Gemara is taking it in the sense. Like Nechushtei Shaltaner, her lower extremity, so therefore it means her womb. So now we're saying a piece of it fell out, that is the equivalent of Ervasek. It's considered the equivalent of the Erva. And just like we said, if blood comes out of the Erva, then she's a Nidur or Zava respectively. So also with that. So the question is, Lamai, relative to what are we saying, in what sense are we saying that she's Tomei? Ilema L'Tumas Shiva, you're going to say it means that she's Tomei as if she was a Nidur and is Tomei for 7 days. Why? Dam Omer Achman of Aleichaticha. The Pasuk says only if blood comes out of her, not if a piece comes out of her. Here it's a piece of the womb that fell out. Why should she be Tomei 7 days for it? Meaning a piece of it. No, an actual piece of the womb itself, an actual piece of the tissue of the uterus fell out, or the cervix or whatever. That's what we're saying. Like, she had a prolapse, and now a piece of it actually fell off. So you can't say she's Tomei 7 days because of that. Elo l'tumas erev. So it must mean, what we mean is there's tumas erev. Because when it came out of her body, the outside of her body touched it. So therefore, it's metame like any other source of touch tuma. But no more than that.
Which is what, one day?
So one day. In other words, she goes to the mikveh and she saw her that evening. Okay. Omer Rav Yechon, and Bepashtus, it doesn't mean also Bepashtus, if we're saying that's only Tumas Erev, Bepashtus, it also means she's not also to her husband. The Rambam, in fact, doesn't bring this din in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, which is where the dinim of Nida and Zava relative to her husband are. He brings this din, and these related dinim, he brings them in Hilchos Metame Mishkav Moshe, the case is where a person is Tame, and then the seat that they sit on, or the bed that they lie on, or whatever is Tame. Okay. Amr Rav Yechanan. Rav Yechanan says, here's another related din. Mako shehi ziyak ishtei tipe margolius. If the womb sweated out two little drops like pearls, meaning white drops, tmeya, then she's tummy. Now, what do we mean, Tomei? Lamai, Ilema L'Tumas Shiva. You're going to say she's Tomei as a Nidah. What do you mean? We learned before, Chamisha Damim Tmeim Be'isha. We said there's only five shades of blood that make her Tomei, but Tulay, and no more than that. And white is not one of those shades, so why should it be Matan her? So the same thing, Elo L'Tumas Erev. No, it means, again, that she only is Tomei Tumas Erev. She has to go to the mikvah, and she's taught her that. The answer is because it touched the mocker. Because it touched the mocker, and then in turn it touched her, so it's the same thing as we said before. Any blood that comes out of the mocker, we said mocker makome tame. So here also, no, not necessarily. Mocker makome tame doesn't necessarily have to. That's what we're saying. It doesn't necessarily have to be restricted to the five colors. Nidor or zava has to be restricted to the five colors, but the concept of mocker makome tame could apply to this also. How
she sees the same.
So in other words, she sees these two drops that the womb sweated out. So it's not no because it's not because they're white. They're white, and they're white, and it's not like I think Macharon didn't talk about it. It's not like blood vessels opened up or whatever, and actual blood came out. This is just some kind of secretion or something. It's not blood basically. So therefore, so it's only Tumas Erev. But Davka Tauti and Well, because it's still mocker, mocker, tummy. Because we said anything that comes out of the mocker is tummy. So in this case, some kind of secretion from there. But the davka tauti, but that would only be the case if there were two drops. Avachoda, but if it was only one, not necessarily. Did it even come from the womb? Ema ma'alma after. It may have come from someplace else in her reproductive system, and therefore we're not even going to be metame her on the grounds of mocker, mocker, tummy. It's only if there were two. Because one could be a fluke, but if you have two already, it's more logical that at least one of them came from the mocker. If one of them, you could say maybe came from the sides of the vaginal walls or whatever, but two already, the pashtus, we would assume that came from the womb itself. Okay. All right. Continue. The Mishnah continued. Kol anoshim mitamin b'bayis achitzin. We said all women become tamei when the blood comes into the bayis achitzin. So now we have to define that. Hey, niu bayis achitzin. What do we mean by that? Amar Rish Lakish kol shitinokis yeshavas v'niris. So Rish Lakish says this would be the area where when a girl sits down, then that area is visible. So we're talking about like the outer, like the area between like the labia majora or whatever. We're talking about like the extreme outer portion of her vaginal area. Amalei Rabbi Yechanan says that can't be. Oisei makom golei hu'eretz hasharet. That area is considered so open. It's not even considered beis hasharim on a person to the extent that if a sheret touched her, if a dead sheret touched her in that area, it would make her tummy. Now we know, we've learned many times before, and we're going to learn later, that maga beis hasharim, that a tumor that touches somebody in a concealed part of their body, is not metame. But Rabbi Yechanan says that
it's covered with clothes. Or?
No. Meaning, in other words, like for example, the inside of the mouth, for example, or as we're going to talk about over here, the inside of the vagina, the inside of the anus, whatever. All of those would be examples of beis hasharim. So, but Rabbi Yechanan says that. It's one thing the actual vagina itself is beis hasharim, but the area between the labia over there is not even considered beis hasharim. So what it's considered open. The very fact that when a girl sits, it opens means that it's not considered beis hasharim. So therefore, so you're telling, we're saying in the Mishnah that the reason why she's tameh is because the pasuk says divsara, that even when the blood is still within her flesh, then it's already metameh. But Rabbi Yechanan says, if we're only talking about the place kol shetinokas yeshevas v'nirat, you can't even call that divsara anymore. It's obvious that she's tameh. That's no, at that point, it's no different than if it actually came out of her body. Because at that point, it's an invisible area. So we have to be talking about something further inside. Elo Amar Rabbi Yechanan ad bein hashinayim. So Rabbi Yechanan says it's a further area inside where the area between the shinayim. Shinayim literally means teeth. So there's actually a couple of possibilities to understand and part of it based. So actually, you know what? Let's learn the next couple of lines and then we'll talk about. Then we'll try to figure out anatomically what that refers to. So Iboilahu. So first of all, the Chachamim had a question that Rabbi Yechanan says, until Bein Hashinayim. So of course, whenever you say until, you always have the question, inclusive or exclusive. Iboilahu Bein Hashinayim Kilifnei Kolachot. Is the area between the Shinayim itself, is it considered like further in or like further out? So in other words, are we saying that the blood starts coming from... Are we saying that once the blood starts coming out of the uterus, as soon as it reaches the area, the beginning of the area, Bein HaShinayim, that's already told me. So we'll explain it. So we'll talk about it in a second, the possibilities of what Bein HaShinayim are. I'll hold that thought. But does it mean once it comes out of the main part of the uterus and starts going into the area, Bein HaShinayim, and she's already told me? Or does it mean it has to clear that whole area, and only when it's at the end of it does it become told me? So the area Bein HaShinayim itself.
You said initially, as soon as it comes out of the...
We said ad Bein HaShinayim. So now we have to define exactly what Bein HaShinayim is. But wait. But first the question is, are the Shinayim themselves considered part of the womb, or are they considered like outside? So Toshma, the Tani Rav Zakkai, Rav Zakkai taught a braisa, ad Bein HaShinayim and Bein HaShinayim Atman Kilifnim. The area Bein HaShinayim itself is considered like further inside. The Masnisa Tana, in a Braisa we learn that the definition of what's considered Bayis HaChitzon is Mokon Disha. So So it's okay. So far, what we have is Rabbi Yochanan's definition and the and clarified by Rabbi Zakkai's Braisa is that the Bais HaChitzon is everything from the Shinayim outward. The Shinayim themselves, we said, are still considered like the inside. So when the blood is Bein HaShinayim, she's not yet Tomei. But once it leaves the Shinayim, then she's Tahor. I know you're wondering what the Shinayim are, so hold on. Once the reason why I'm waiting is because after we learn the next couple of lines, then we'll be able to talk about it more sensibly. The Masnisa Tana Mokam Disha. In another Braisa, it says that the Bais HaChitzon is the place of Disha. Disha literally means threshing. So my Mokam Disha, what do we mean, the place of threshing? Amar Rav Yehuda Mokam Shashamash Dosh, the place where the shamash, meaning the male organ, dosh threshes. In other words, the part of the vagina that's penetrated by the shamash, by the aver, when the couple has relations. So now, okay.
It's a big area.
Okay, so what we mean, so in fact, the Rambam points out that, yeah, obviously, it depends on the size of the aver, sure. So it's like this. There's two major approaches what the Shinayim are for this purpose. One approach is that it means the cervix. So in particular, inside the cervix you have these little branching like things. They have the medical name for it. Actually, I was looking this up today. The medical name for it is an arborvitae uteri or something like that, whatever, meaning like the tree of the uterus. Because like you have branching, I don't know what it is, folds or whatever, that somewhat resemble a tree in profile. So the Gemara, so that could be what the Gemara is calling over here Shinayim, because if you look at them in profile, they look sort of like teeth. And then in that case, then according to that explanation, it would mean, so what we'd be saying is that you have the body of the uterus itself, then you have the cervix with the shinayim running the length of it. That area is all considered kilifnim. All that area is still considered that when the blood is there, it's not yet metastasized. As soon as it leaves the cervix and enters the main part of the vagina, then it would be metastasized. That would be bein hashinayim. And then the cervix itself would be considered for that purpose like the inside of the uterus. And therefore, when the blood is there, it's not metameter. The other possibility is...
outside cervix?
You have the cervix itself. You have an inner edge and you have an outer edge. The Bein HaShinayim, the Shinayim run the full length of the cervix. So therefore, the idea is, when the blood is inside the uterus, obviously it's not metameter. When it starts going out into the cervix, it's still not metameter, because we asked about the Bein HaShinayim themselves, and we said Bein HaShinayim Atzmo Kilifnim, that Bein HaShinayim is considered like it's still inside, so as long as it's in the cervix, according to that explanation of Shinayim, then it's not metameter, and only when it leaves that area, only then does it start being metameter. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that the Shinayim are some glands or something that are on the sides of the vagina, and in that case, then so the other question is we have to figure out is whether the first definition of Bein HaShinayim is the same as the second definition Mokam Shashamash Dosh. If you say it's the cervix, then it's very hard to equate the two of them because the aver doesn't usually reach the cervix. Once in a while it can with an exceptionally small woman or an exceptionally large man, but it's somewhat uncommon. In fact, actually, usually if it does actually hit the cervix, it usually tends to be painful for the woman. So usually it doesn't reach there. So according to that, then one possibility is that these are in fact two different definitions. So one would be the cervix, and the other one would be Mokam Shashamash Dosh. The Rambam, on the other hand, seems to equate them. The Rambam seems to equate them because the Rambam writes the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch write both of these definitions lahalacha Bein HaShinayim, and the definition of Bein HaShinayim is Mokam Shashamash Dosh. So therefore, according to that, the Shinayim might not be the cervix itself, but rather it might be someplace along the length of the vagina, someplace where more typically the aver reaches. One possibility is that it means the cervix, and the outer edge of the cervix, right? And the other possibility would be that it's something along the middle of the vagina. Here, the Rambam, for example, writes And even though the blood didn't actually come out of her body, it came out of the womb, but it didn't yet dribble out. Once it came out from Bein HaShinayim, then she's Tomei, even though the blood is still inside her, where is Bein HaShinayim? Is the area where the Eva reaches during Gemar Bia. So in other words, the Rambam is explaining that the two definitions, because the Rambam is understanding the two definitions here in the Gemara are not contradicting each other, they're complementing each other. There's two ways of defining it. One way is anatomically, Bein HaShinayim, and the other way is by defining it in terms of how the vagina is actually used while they're having relations till we're Shamash Dosh. Okay. Anyway, once the blood goes beyond that point, whatever the Shinayim are, then she's Tomei, we're saying. Okay. We learn in a Brice that Bivsara, when we say that the blood is Bivsara, and we said that she's Tomei already, Malamet Shemakam Pnim Kivachot, from there we learn, as we said in the Mishnah, that she's Tomei even while the blood is inside her body, just as if it had already come out of the body. The Ainli Elam Nida. Now, we would only know, since the word Bivsara is in the Pasuk regarding Nida, so we would only know that din applies to Nida. Zava Minayin, how do we know it also applies to a Zava? Tamad Lema, Zava Bivsara. Therefore, the Pasuk says that the blood is her flow in Bivsara. So the word Zava, in other words, has a double meaning. It means the regular flow of Nida, and it means the unusual flow of Zava. So it covers both of them. Again, because since it uses the word zoiva, because otherwise if we're just talking about nida, it could just say dom yi abifsara. So the word zoiva includes zava as well. Peletes shichvah zera minayin. How do we know that the same din applies to a woman who is peulet shichvah zera, which we've talked about before, where she had relations and now some of the zera is leaking out? How do we know the same din applies that even while it's still inside her, once it's outside of Bein HaShinayim, then she's Tomei? Therefore, the pasuk says dom yiyeh is zoiva b'vsara, and the yiyeh is something extra, so it includes shichvah zera.
It says dom,
but it says yiyeh. So otherwise, it could have said dom zoiva b'vsara. So by saying yiyeh, it means to include something else as well, namely shichvah zera.
Dom that's recent dom.
No, there's no difference between recent and non-recent. Reb Shimon Omer, Daya Kabayla. Reb Shimon disagrees with that, though. He says, no, it's enough to make her Tomei, as far as Poilet Shechvah Zera, like the one that she had relations with. Ma Boyola Eina Matama Achetesa Tomalachot. Now, as we said in the Mishnah, when does a man become Tomei from Shechvah Zera or Zoiv? Only when it actually comes out of his body. So Aki Eina Matama Achetesa Tomalachot. So Reb Shimon would say the same thing applies to the woman. It's one thing, Nida and Zava, those are things unique to her, but Poilet Shechvah Zera comes from her husband, after all, so it's logical to apply the same dinim as to her husband. It should only be metame when it actually comes out of her body. By the way, we've talked before about this matter of Pelet Shechvah Zera and the result of it, that because of that we have the 5 days before starting to count the seven clean days, because you need 3 days in case she was Pelet and an extra day. We've talked about it a few times already. We've talked about that you always need a minimum of 4 days because they may have relations in the middle of the day, and it has to be 3 full days, 24 hours. So you generally have it's going to be parts of 4 days, and then you add a fifth day. Yeah, and then you add a fifth day in case they had relations with Banash Marshes. But actually, an interesting point over here, when we say over here that Reb Shimon is saying Daya Kabayala, that's enough for her to be like her boil. Now, okay, granted, the halacha is not like Reb Shimon, but still, there are Rishonim who learn, the Rosh Brings, for example, that Rabbeinu Tam says, this whole concept that she should be Tomei from Peletas Shechvah Zera only applies when the Boil himself is going to be, that she should lose the days of that she counted so far, would only apply where the husband himself was somebody who would be losing days as a result of it. Namely, if he himself is a Zav. If he himself is a Zav, as we've learned before, if he has Shechvah Zera in the middle, then he loses 1 day. So Rabbi Natan, for example, learns that this whole concept, he would learn this whole concept that she's Tomei from being Perlet Shechvah Zera would only apply when her husband himself was a Zav. Many other Rishonim disagree with, most other Rishonim disagree with that, and the halacha is that it's not like that. Okay. Fine. Continues the Gemara. The Sover of Shimon Daya Kabayla. Are you telling me Reb Shimon holds this concept that given that the husband is only Tomei from Shechvah Zera when it leaves his body, therefore it's logical, therefore that we should say that the same thing also, that she also should only be Tomei from Pelet to Shechvah Zera once it comes out of her? V'hatanya. But we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says that if a couple has relations, the Pasuk says, V'roch to b'mayim tomu ad order, they both have to go to the mikveh, and they're Tomei till the evening. So Amar Reb Shimon, b'chi ma bozel olam deinu. So Reb Shimon says, what exactly is this pasuk coming to teach us? It doesn't need to teach us that the husband has to toivel, because the previous pasuk says v'ishki teitzim menu shichlas zera. It also can't be teaching us that if she touches it, then she's tome, because again, the previous pasuk says that anybody who touches shichlas zera is tome. So imla inyun negeya v'shichlas zera harekva nemel amata oyish. If it's coming to teach us that because she touched the shichlas zera with her body when it came out of him, therefore she's tameh, harekva nemalamata oyish. The pasuk already says that, or a man from whom shichlas zera comes out is tameh, and we learn from that also later on in the perek that we learn from that also that a person who touches shichlas zera is tameh.
So it
didn't have to say the pasuk at all. Right. Obviously, he himself is tameh and she is tameh for having touched it. Elam Mepnesha Tumas Vesa Storim. So Rav Shimon says, no, the reason is because this that she touched the Shichlas Zera, it's based on Storim. Again, it's only with the hidden areas of her body that touched the Shichlas Zera. It's only inside of her. The Tumas Vesa Storim ain't a Matama. Usually a Tumas Vesa Storim would not be Matame. So why is she Tomei? Elash Gzeres HaKosev. It's Gzeres HaKosev, but in this case she's Tomei even though it was Tumas Vesa Storim.
I mean, there's no Tumas Bliya.
Well, it's similar in a way to Tumas Bluah, but the point is, in other words, usually you would have, as usually you would have that if a source of Tumas touches a person in Vesa Storim, for example, the inside of their mouth, or in this case, the inside of a vagina or whatever, it wouldn't be Matame. But here, Gzeres HaKosev, but the Shichlas Zera that comes into her is Matame anyway.
That's because
there's a custom. Because that's why the pasuk is telling us. You would have thought, fine, he's tomei because it came out of him. She's not tomei because it only touched her in Beis Hastarim. No, the pasuk has to tell us that she's tomei as well.
No reason. Just
there's a custom, right? The point being, in other words, that we don't say now if we said Daya Kabayla, if Shimon had said she should be like Hubayo, which he just said before about Perlet Shichlas Zera, then he should use the same logic over here. Once he's Tomei, automatically that's reason enough to make her Tomei as well. And yet Reb Shimon says that's not enough, and we need a pasuk, we need a Gzeres HaKosev for it. So why should he say Daya Kabayla when it comes to Perlet Shichlas Zera, when it comes to going out of her body?
He should be active in every case.
Yeah, if you said that you need a pasuk to teach us that she's Tomei after they have relations, you should need another pasuk to say that she's Tomei with Shichlas Zera only when it comes out of her body. No. One is that if she told me for Perlet Shichlas Zera, if Shimon is arguing that she should only be told me when it comes out of her body, well, we don't have a pasuk for that. If we need a pasuk to tell us that she's told me from Shichlas Zera in the first place, shouldn't we need a, and we don't just say Daya Kabayla, once he's Tomei automatically, then it means that she's Tomei. So the same thing over here. Why should we say, just because he's Tomei when it comes out of him, therefore she should be Tomei only when it comes out of her body completely? The answer is loikasha kan mishameshes kan bepeletus. The answer is there's a difference between whether she has relations or whether she's peletus. When she has relations, you need a big gzeres hakosuv. Peletus, Reb Shimon would say, there's no gzeres hakosuv. Therefore, we can use this logic. We can use this logic that so we would say when it comes to mishameshes. You need a pasuk to tell us, because otherwise we wouldn't have known that she's tame at all. We need to be told, even though it's based on stardom, nevertheless she's tame. But when it comes to peletus, we don't need any pasuk. We can just use the logical thing to say, since he's tame, only when it comes out of him, then the same thing with her. Question is peletus typically da shimsha. If she's peletus, then she had relations before it came out, so therefore she's tame anyway on the grounds of relations. The answer is b'shatovla l'shimusha. The answer is, suppose she toveled after having relations, and then let's say the next day she was toveling. So there, Reb Shimon is saying, daya kabayla. Everybody's going to say she's tomei after the shichla, when the shichla zera comes out, but the chachamim are going to say once it comes out of bein hashinayim, or whatever, however we define it exactly, then she'll be tomei. And Reb Shimon says that no, unlike nida and zava, it has to actually completely come out of her. What we're talking about was the next day already, after she had toveled the previous day after they had relations. Okay, so the question is, you're telling me then that when a woman has relations, it's enough for her to just have Tumas Erev, it's just enough, she just has to toivel in the mikveh, and then she's already toho that evening. Didn't Rava say, when a woman had relations, then she has to wait 3 days before she can eat Truma? Because inevitably there's going to be some Perletus Shichlas Zera during those 3 days. Again, after 3 days. Well, that's the reason. And when she's Perletus, it'll make her tummy. So after 3 days, you don't, because then already it's not viable anymore. And then being Perletus, it doesn't matter. But during the 3 days, she's also. So the implication is, in other words, that exactly that. So she's Tommy for 3 days after having relations. What are you telling me that she just needs to go to the mikveh that day? Well, right, because EF Shalosh Shalai Tifler. So what are you telling me that she's able to go to the mikveh that day? She's already Tohar that night, Her of Shemesh. And then if the next day then Shechvat Zera comes out, then she's Tommy again. She should anyway be Tommy for the 3 days after having relations. And once 3 days are over, then Pilates doesn't matter. So where is there a case where being Pilot itself is going to be the parameter? The answer is Hochab Mayaskin and Sheikh Biluba Mitzah. The answer is, when Rav Shimon is talking about that she was Tohar and she's only becoming Tommy, about suppose that after Kashmish, after they had relations, she toveled, but she was in a bed. In other words, they carried her to the mikveh. So she didn't move. The premise is, the Gemara's premise is now, her moving around is what causes plato, is what causes some of the zera to leak out. But if she's not moving around, if she's laying still, then none of it leaks out. So therefore, but not for 3 days. So therefore, so you can have, they had relations. Afterwards, her friends carried her to the mikveh in a bed, and she toiled.
Within the three days.
But then the next day she was toiled. So that could be a case where the plater itself makes it. No, because after 5 days, the zera is not viable anymore. Once it's 3 days, yeah. Okay. So the question is, we cloud the Kika Omar Rava. So what are you saying? So the implication is that Rava is talking about the usual case, the Ozla E, the Kara, the Tavla, that she's walking on her own 2 feet and going and toveling. Well, Dilma Bahadi to Ka'ozla Shadisa. Just the walking itself may cause her to leak out Shechvas Zera. So what do you mean that? So what do you mean? Rava is saying EF Shalai Tiflet Kol Shloisha, implying that she's Tommy, that she's Bade Tommy for those 3 days. But we can assume that it's more. No, we're talking about here. She's not in a bed. But it's more logical to assume that the walk itself to the mitzvah caused any Shechvas Zera to leak out. So then she toveled. Why do we assume that even after walking to the mikveh and toveling, are we assuming that more could leak out? The pashtus, we should assume all of it leaked out while she was walking.
So the case is she stays in a bed?
No. There's two different cases to say.
One is
where she stays in bed, and then what we would say is that's the case that Rav Shimon is talking about, where therefore she toveled. Now the next day she's toilet. And was now the next day she's toilet, and Rav Shimon is arguing she should be no different than her husband. Her husband is only Tomei when it came out of him, when it came completely out of his body. So the same thing, it shouldn't be Matame while it's inside her, even if it's outside Bein Hashina. Whereas Rava, when he says that for 3 days she's also teeth truma, he's talking about the pashtus, the regular case where she walked to the mikveh. But in that case, why do we assume then if she walked to the mikveh that same day and toveled, why do we assume more shikma zera is going to leak out afterwards? The pashtus, all of it, if it's going to come out, came out while she was walking. Okay, Tosfos points out, I mean, there's another angle over here also. We could say that, you know, we you could have, for example, that she could wipe herself very well and make sure that there's no zera to leak out. But then the point is you already have polter, then you already have that it leaked out, so it was metame her. So.
Right.
So the answer is, if she wipes herself,
then she becomes tame automatically.
Right, because she's pregnant, exactly, yeah. So v'chi tema duma ishtayer. So you're going to say, okay, but maybe Rava is metameh her mitzafik because maybe after all, maybe not all of it leaked out while she was walking to the mikveh. Maybe some of it is left behind and then it'll leak out afterwards. Well, in that case, why is Rava using the expression kol shloshiyam asura lecha b'truma? She e efshalosh shaloi tiflet. It's impossible that she won't be toilet if it's just a matter of achshash. Yeah, ihochi chashinen shemen ishtayim iboile. Then Rava should use the expression, not EF, so not it's impossible, but it's possible, that it's possible. We have to be concerned that there might be some risk.
So it cannot be that.
Right. Ela le Rava nami shik biloba mitzah. So no, what we have to answer is that Rava is also talking about that she was toveled in a bed. She didn't actually walk, so therefore she could be toilet anytime. Why not? Yeah, why not? Actually, I mean, think of the Mishnayot that we learned for your site, right? Hit b'voy samitza. Well, what's the last Mishnah over there? Hitra boys amitah means that you toveled a bed in a mikveh. In other words, you had. Remember, in those days when they had to be careful of tumah v'tahara, yes, there were household objects such as beds could become tamei, and then you have to take the whole bed to the mikveh and dip it in. Yeah.
Amitah means a bed.
Amitah means a bed. Yeah. So you'd have to have a very large mikveh or your lake or whatever, and yeah, you take the whole bed and dip it in, yeah. So Rava is also talking about Hitzilua B'mita, that they actually toveled her while she was lying in bed. So therefore, she could be polit, so therefore it's likely that she's going to continue being polit for several days in succession. But, V'loy Kasha, but, so what's the difference? Then why is Reb Shimon assuming that she's Tahor right away and then only becomes Tomei the next day for Plata, whereas Rava is saying that we assume that she's leaking for 3 days and is Tomei? The difference is, V'loy Kasha kan b'mesapechas, kan b'she'ena mesapechas. The difference is whether she turned over or not. So what does that mean? So Rashi gives two explanations. One explanation is that Rava is talking about that after she toveled, she then turned over. She then flipped over or whatever. That causes more zera to leak out that otherwise might not. Whereas Reb Shimon is talking about that she didn't turn over after the tefillah. So then, if she's polit, she's polit, and if not, then not. That's one explanation in Rashi. The second explanation in Rashi is that mitapechas refers to what she does at the time of tashmish. Mitapechas b'shach tashmish, so therefore what happens is that causes that not all the zera stays together inside her. So therefore a little bit of it leaks out over the next couple of days. Eina mitapechas b'shach tashmish, she lies still, then all of the zera stays together, and therefore if it's going to come out, then it comes out all at once.
What about if it stays in and when the ego comes out, he drops there on her?
Well, if he drops on the outside of her body, obviously she's tummy from touching the zera anyway. Fine, then whatever zera lands on the outside of her body, she's tummy from touching that zera, right? But that, right, exactly. But here we're talking about, let's say it didn't. So again, Rashi's second explanation is the difference between mitapeches and eina mitapeches refers to what she does at the time of tashmish. Mitapeches, and therefore it breaks up, and therefore mitapeches means she turns over. She turns over or turns back and forth like b'shach tashmish. So therefore, like it doesn't stay together cohesively. So therefore, it leaks out a little bit at a time. As opposed to eina mitapeches, she lies still, then it all stays together, and then if it's gonna come out, then it comes out all at once. So that would be Reb Shimon's case. The Rambam apparently learns like Rashi's second explanation, because he also refers to mitapechas b'shach tashmish, but he understands it a little bit differently, that mitapechas would cause it to all come out at once, whereas eina mitapechas would cause that if it's going to come out, it dribbles out a little here, a little there. Okay. All right. So continuing the Gemara, the Rava Akrokoi, so now Rava is referring back to the case of the Pasuk. Rava is trying to explain to us, again, what's the Chiddush of the Pasuk saying that they can Tovel, implying that she can Tovel even on the same day she had Tashmish, whereas we're saying that she told her, that she told... Well, in other words, he wants to explain what is the case that the Pasuk is talking about, v'rochtu b'mayim, that they have relations, and right away she should tovel, implying that she could tovel that day, whereas Rava himself had also said that, on the other hand, for 3 days she's also to eat truma, so that would be the difference. When the Pasuk says that she can tovel after Tashmish, and she's tome only until the evening, that would be, and implying that even she could eat truma, that would be the she'ena mishapechas. That would refer to where she wasn't mishapech. So again, according to Rashi's first explanation, that after toveling she wasn't mesapech, and according to Rashi's second explanation, that during tashmish she wasn't mesapech. But if she was mesapeches after tevilah or during relations, as the case may be, then kol shloshi yom masur alecha b'truma, Rava would say that's not the case the pasuk is talking about. Then she's actually considered tameh and also teach truma for 3 days. She epshal oshalei tiplay, because inevitably during those 3 days she's going to be leaking out. We talked about this before. When a woman is polit shichvas zera, what kind of tumah is it? Roya havya or negas havya? Is it that she's tumah on the grounds of re'iyah? Is it that she's tumah on the grounds of re'iyah? Or is she tumah on the grounds that it touched the outside of her body? Because again, up until now, it was based on sarim. So Gzeres HaKosev, that she became Tomei from relations itself, but now afterwards, a day or 2 days later, it's leaking out. Then it's the usual concept. Tumas Beis HaStardom is not Matame. It's only Matame when it touches the outside of her body. Or would we say that it's considered a Riyah? Nafkamina, what would be the Nafkamina between these two possibilities? A few things. Number one, Lister. Number one, when she's counting the 7 clean days for Zivah, if we consider it a ri'iyah, then it would be like any other ri'iyah, and it would cancel her 7 days, and she'd have to start over. If we say that it's considered negiyah, then it's no different than, let's say, touching a sheretz or what have you. That doesn't cancel her days. That doesn't cancel her clean days of zebra.
How can we say it's a ri'iyah? I mean, what if my blood?
Well, because it's a ri'iyah, it's something that comes out of her body. That's the question. Okay, but so what? The point is that the Torah is telling us that Poletus Shichlas Zera is Tomei. So the question is it considered a type of ri'iyah? It's something that was inside her body and now is coming out and is metame her, and therefore it would be considered like any ri'iyah of blood, and therefore, for example, even if it was a tiny amount,
so, I mean, it was
to cancel her seven, she'd have to start her 7 days over again, exactly. Or latame b'mashahu, if it's considered a re'iyah, then there's no minimum size. As we said in our Mishnah, any amount is enough to be matame. If it's negiyah, then there has to be a minimum shear. Rashi brings from later on Gimel Amud Beis, you have two different opinions. We actually learned this before, also in the previous parak, but there's two different opinions. If it's tame from negiyah, how much minimum does there need to be there? So that's another note. So two opinions. One is it have to be the size of a lentil, and one is that it would have to be enough to block the urethral hole of the man.
No,
the second one is much smaller than the first one. To block the hole is much smaller. A lentil is larger.
No,
we're talking horizontally. Yeah, the cross section of a lentil, the size of a lentil is much larger than the man's urethra. Yeah. Okay, anyway.
So how big would it be, right?
So it would be the size of the one. No, well, the second one, I don't know, whatever. Okay, anyway. So if you say it's negia, then you need a minimum size. If you say it's ri'iyah, then there's no minimum size. Also, for latame b'fnim k'bachutz, another nafkamina would be, isn't latame while it's inside her body, once it's outside bein ha'shinayim? If it's a ri'iyah, then yes, like we said before. If it's negia, then no, because that's still beis ha'starim, until it reaches further out. So that was Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna's question. So the question is, why is Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna asking the question? Monapshach. Either way you look at it, if he heard the braisa that we quoted before with the machlokas of Reb Shimon and the Chachamim, well then we know from that braisa roya havya. We know from that braisa that perlet ashrich vazera is considered roya, because we said there that the rabbanon say that she's tome b'fnim kabachot, and according to Reb Shimon only when it actually exits her body. So then we know. So if he knows the braisa, then he knows the answer that according to the rabbanon it's considered a roya. Then we know it's machlokas. The Chachamim would say that she's roya, and Reb Shimon would consider her negas. The eloi shmiel masnisin. And if Reb Shmuel Bar Bisna never heard of this braisa, the Amoraim are not expected to know all the braisas. So if he didn't know the braisa, mistabra negas havya, it would be more logical to say that we would consider it negas. After all, it's not something that comes from her own body. It's something that came into her body and now is going out. So it would be more logical to consider just negeya, which is a lesser degree of tumah, and therefore it's only matamik bachutz, etc. So what is Reb Shmuel Bar Bisna asking? What's his reason for supposing that it should be considered roya unless he heard of the braisa? And if he heard of the braisa, he knows already the answer. He knows that the Chacham holds that it is roya. The answer is la'olam shmiel le'masnit. And actually, Reb Shmuel Bar Bisna had heard the braisa. So he's not asking according to the Rabbanon. According to the Rabbanon, obviously, she's considered roya. But that's why they're saying it's matame even when it's b'fnim. Ki kama b'yalei aliva de Reb Shimon. His question is according to Reb Shimon.
It cannot be according to
Chacham. Right, because according to Chacham, obviously, she's roya for all purposes. But according to Reb Shimon, even according to Reb Shimon, olatame b'fnim k'bachutz like a b'yalei. Now, the Gemara mentioned three nafkaminas that there could be from his question. Reb Shmuel Bar Bisna himself did not necessarily mention those nafkaminas. He just asked Abaye, is she roya or is she negas? So now we can say, of those three nafkaminas, the one about b'fnim k'bachutz, loikam b'yalei, Reb Shmuel Bar Bisna is not even asking about that, because he knows Reb Shimon obviously says she's tame, that Reb Shimon obviously says she's only tame until, while it's inside. Only when it comes outside.
Only when it comes outside, right.
But his question is, what would Reb Shimon say about the other two things? Is she soiser? Does it cancel her seven clean days of ziva if she's perlet ashrich vazera in the middle of it? And also, latame b'chol shavu. Also, is it latame with even the tiniest drop, or do you need a minimum size like you would for a man to shrich vazera? So those are the questions. My, his question is, what is it? Kika Amar Rav Shimon Daya Kabayla. When Rav Shimon says it's enough to consider the woman like her husband, so he is Tomei only when it comes out of him, she should be Tomei only when it comes out of her. That would be Hani Milu Tamuya Bechnim Kabachot. That would only be as far as this difference of inside versus outside. Aval Lister in the time of the Chol Shuru Roya Havya. Maybe he would say when it comes to the other things, we would consider her for those purposes Roya. Maybe, in other words, he would say the only exception when we say Daya Kabayla is only as far as it's inside versus outside business. Or maybe Rav Shimon would say there's no difference. Once he considers that it's like Shechvah Zera from her husband for one purpose, then he would say like all. So also it's not Soiser, because it didn't come from her herself, and it's not Metame B'chol. So that's one way of understanding Rav Shmuel by business question. Ikadamri, another understanding of his question, La'olam loishmi alei masnisa, that the first version we assumed he did know of the Braisa, but he was asking what would be the din of one's Rav Shimon. In the second version, he didn't hear of the Braisa, but his question is as follows. We asked if he never heard of the Braisa, what was his premise, what even made him think that it should be considered a Riya? It could be that his premise was like this. Nida achma rachmana abalik kroyin besin. We see that when it comes to Har Sinai, to Matan Torah, the Torah that Hashem was machmir and wanted to make sure that the people are not going to be tomei when they come to receive the Torah. And therefore, there were 3 days of preparation before Matan Torah, the Shloshes Me'agbala. And the Gemara has in Shabbos a whole sugya about this issue of Pelet Shechvasera. Basically, we have to figure
in relation to this, because we have to figure
why did Hashem say there have to be 3 days? What tumah is there that expires after 3 days?
So why do we keep 5 days then?
That's because it starts in the middle of one day and ends in the middle of one day, and because there wasn't an issue. There you have you do actually have you have a machloekas tanoim over there. How long afterwards is Pelet Shechvasera Tomei anyway? 2 days or 2.5 days or 3 days or whatever. But anyway,
just said 3 days.
Fine, but because Hashem could know when they're going to be Pelet and when not. The point is, why 3 days? What tumah is there that expires in 3 days? Perlet Shechvasera. Hashem wanted to make sure. It's the only one. Everything else is either 1 day or 7 days. So therefore, in other words, Hashem wanted to make sure. So therefore, Hashem told the husbands and wives to separate from each other, such that even if they had relations within a few days before Matan Torah, by the time Matan Torah comes, even if she's Perlet, she won't be Tomei anymore, right? So we see though the Torah is only machmir about that type of tumma. The Torah doesn't tell, for example, the people make sure that during these 3 days you don't touch a sheretz, let's say. So therefore, the Torah is only mentioning that husbands and wives shouldn't have relations. So therefore, since the Torah was machmir on it, roya havya, that goes to show that it is considered roya. In other words, Hashem wanted to be extra machmir on tumas that come out of a person's body. So Hashem doesn't care if they touch a sheretz before Matan Torah, because that's not a tumah that comes out of their own body.
It was just for Matan Torah, that's
the thing. So therefore, once Hashem was machmir by their roya havya, maybe that demonstrates that for all time such a thing is considered roya. Or maybe we don't learn from Har Sinai, because like you said, it's a chiddush, it's a one-time thing. Because after all, zavim and mitzaroyim is also a tumma that comes out of their own body. It's also a strong kind of tumma. And the Torah doesn't say anything about make sure that the zavim and mitzaroyim are cleaned up before that.
Right.
So maybe therefore in that case. That.
Yes, we do. I mean, she has the...
No, it is not. No.
Zavakana
needs only 1 day. Zavakana needs 7 days.
Right.
We didn't say that.
Zavakana?
Zobim in general, men or women, whatever, they need 7 clean days. And Mitzaroyim are also, they need a certain amount of time until they become Tar. And we see Hashem didn't say you need 7 days of preparation to make sure that all the Zobim and Mitzaroyim are cleaned up.
Where do we get it from, the 7 days?
We don't. There's no 7 days. There's no 7 days of Agbala. There's 3 days of Agbala. So we see that Hashem is not, we see that even though Zav and Mitzorah is also Tumah Yotza Olam Miguf, right? It's also a Tumah that comes out of a person's body.
Right.
Yet Hashem is not Machmer on that before Matan Torah.
Right.
Only Pelet Shechvasera. So therefore we would say that maybe only Pelet Shechvasera has a maybe it's not considered Roya. It's a special thing. It is considered Negeya, but for reasons known only to Hashem, he was Machmer particularly on that one. So what is it? So that's the question. Even without the Braisa, we have reason. We have reason to say that maybe you should consider Droya by using the precedent from Matan Torah, or maybe not. So then, Omale Droya Abya. So Abaya answers him according to either version of what the premise of his question was. Abaya answers him. Perlepta Shechvasera is considered like Droya. So she would be Soiser. It is Matame Bifnim Kebachot according to the Chachamim, and it's Matame B'Mashu like any Riyah.
So she needs to start over her seven.
Well, so in other words, so if it was during her 7 clean days of Zava, then she would have to start over. She'd have to start over. If it was even a tiny amount, less than Kadosha or less, it doesn't matter. And it's Matame once it leaves the Bein Hashinayim. Okay. Also Shaili Lidrova. This is Abaya. Also Shaili Lidrova. So then Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna was not satisfied with that answer. He went and asked Rava. I go to Tabasa. Well, he's having it. Yeah, okay. Maybe he told him what Rava had said, but whatever. He wasn't satisfied that, you know, Rava is just saying Roya Havya without giving a reason or anything. So he wanted a second opinion. So he went and asked Rava. I go to Tabasa, says maybe it should be Rava. Omalid Roya Havya, and Rava also says Roya Havya. Also the Kamedir of Yosef, he goes to Rav Yosef, Omalid Roya Havya. You know, they all say the same thing. Yeah. Hoder also the Kamedir Abaya. So Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna comes back to Abaya. Omalid, he says, Kulchu Veruka Choder Tafitu. All of you are spitting the same spit. In other words, you all heard the same thing from your Rebbe. But that's not independent opinions. I want independent opinions. I don't just want that you're all saying
independent opinions.
No, in other words, like this. Fine, okay. So your Rebbe holds that way. That doesn't mean there's no other possibility. Omerle, but Abaya tells him, no, you're wrong. Shapir Kamilach, everyone told you correctly. When I told you and Rabba, Rava, and Rabbi Yosef all told you, we're all saying correctly, because even according to Rabbi Shimon, Ad Kam, the Ka'amar of Shimon, Daya Kabayala, El Alatam, Ibrahim Kabachut. This that Rabbi Shimon is saying that Daya Kabayala is only as far as the Bifnim Kabachot thing. Aval Lister or Latam Bechosho or Roya Havya. But when it comes to being Soiso, when it comes to being Tame B'Mashu, there she is considered a Roya. Because after all, even if we consider Daya Kabayala, okay, Daya Kabayala means that it's enough to consider her like her husband. Just like her husband is only Matame when it comes out of his body, so also her. But let's consider, when it comes to him being Tame from Shechvat Zera, then you need a minimum, there's no minimum amount. We said in the Mishnah that even Kachado and Kapachos Mizez Matamehim, this that we said you need Shirim is only for touching it. That's for a person to become Tame from touching it. But he himself, he has to go to the Mishnah. He's taller that evening.
One day.
Shumasera, yeah. But so he himself becomes Tame even for a tiny amount. So there's no reason to say anything different than with her. He himself would be Soiser. If he was a Zov and he had Shechvat Zera in the middle, it would be Soiser. So no reason to say any different with her. So no reason to say that Rav Shimon would say anything different about those two things than the Chachamim board. Only when it comes to Bifnim Kabachut, where there's a difference between men and women, there Rav Shimon is saying, unlike you Chachamim, want to distinguish between men and women, I want to make it consistent and say both of them only when it comes out. So the only difference would be about inside versus outside. But as far as Soser and as far as Kolshu, they would both agree, and that's what Abaya is telling Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna.
And they considered Roya.
So for all purposes, it's considered Roya, right? Yeah. Okay. We learn in a brisa. Hanida v'hazava v'hashemeres yoyim k'neged yoyim v'hayoledes. So all these cases, kulam matamas b'fnim k'bachutz. All of them become tamei when the blood is inside, just like if it came out. When the first re'iyah happens, Rashi explains, when a nidah, or in other words, we don't mean, in other words, if a nidah has, if a woman was already nidah and then has a second bleed, obviously she's already tamei. We mean the first one is already matamei her, even while it's inside her, once it came out to the bayis hachitzin. So the question is, b'shlema kulo l'chayi, 3 out of the 4 cases, we understand why they need to be mentioned. A nida, a zava, meaning a zava dola, a shemer asiyam k'neged yoyim, who only needs one clean day. So all of them, we need to be told the same din applies to all of them. Ela yeledes, but why do we need to list the woman who gave birth? It's not a separate category. Ibi me nida nida, ibi me ziva ziva. If she gave birth during the days when she would otherwise be nida, then we already mentioned nida. If it's during the days when she's already Zava, when she would have been Zava, then she becomes a Zava. So why do we need to mention her separately? She's Tomei for 7 or 14 days after the birth, but the blood that comes that starts coming out before the birth is already Tamei in the Bayis HaChitzin also, but that's no different than Nida and Zava. Why does it have to be listed as a fourth category? The answer is, Vaitzricha sheyorda litva mituma latara. The chiddush is, let's say, for example, that she went, let's say that after the 2 weeks, let's say, for example, after the week or 2 weeks of Tumah, after the baby, she went to Tovel. And we learned before, Rashi points out, we learned in the previous Perek that Beis Hillel had said that you need days and Tevilah, that when does she start Dam Tohar, it's not automatic after the 7 or 14 days that Dam Tohar begin. You have, she also has to Tovel to transition from Yemei Tumah to Yemei Tahara. So let's say on the 14th day, or the night after the 14th day, to be exact, she goes down to Tovel, and what happens? So what's the situation? You have a case like this. A woman who gave birth, who goes to Tovel to transition from Yimei Tumah to Yimei Tahara, the neck of Yimei Dam and blood gets uprooted from her and starts coming out into the Bayis HaChitzon. Suppose now the blood stays there in the Bayis HaChitzon for a day or two. So what's the din? Is it blood tomei or not? Biyurida tmeya ba'aliyah tahora. It depends. Did this blood coming out into the Bayis HaChitzon take place? Bayis HaChitzon, we said before, is the area outside Bein HaShinayim. So again, either Bein HaShinayim means the outside edge of the cervix, or it means some glands or something like that on the inside of the vaginal walls. Anyway, we said that once the blood passes the Bein HaShinayim, then she's tomei. So now what happens is, so she went down to Tovel, and blood started coming out and came out to the Bayis HaChitzon. So it depends. When did it come out? Birida Tmeya, if it came out while she was going down to Tovel, then she saw me, because that blood came out into the Bayis HaChitzon before she Toveled, and therefore it's considered, therefore it was already Matame her. That blood, therefore, is Tomei. Yeah. So she's Tomei from that. So when that blood eventually comes out of her completely, she's going to have to Tovel again. That blood did not become Tahar through her Toveling. So that's why we had to mention your Ledes Matame Bayis HaChitzon. That's what we mean, Matamas Lefnim Kabachot. That even though 2 weeks after she already gave birth, but because blood came to Bayis HaChitzon before she Toveled, that's still Tomei. On the other hand, Ba'aliyah Tahara, but if it only came to the Bayis HaChitzon after she came out of the mikveh, then it's Tahara, because at that point the mikveh made it Dam Tahara.
If it was
inside her womb or inside the Bein HaShinayim and only left the area Bein HaShinayim after she finished Toveling, then it's Dam Tahara.
Yeah,
because then at that point, 2 weeks have passed, then she Toveled. Interesting, by the way. Interesting side point. A couple of Achronim discussed the question. We're mentioning over here when she goes down versus when she comes up. There's an interesting point that a number of Achronim make, that a person becomes tahor from going to the mikvah only when they actually go out of the mikvah,
when their
body starts coming out of the mikvah water. In other words, the idea would be, according to various Achronim, it's not that the Tahara takes place when the person is submerged in the water, it's only when they come out, it's only when they start coming out of it.
Yeah. I know. Why is that?
The one thing is, we see from our Gemara over here, Ba'aliyah Tahara, only when she's coming out. Okay, but then what the reason is, I don't know what the reason is, but the idea would be that then, okay, I'm a little bit
humorous. When they're in the mikveh,
then there's still Tommy, apparently, would be the idea, according to, because you're from various other Achronim talk about this, Okay. I'm a little Yumi, a little Zera. Be you read that my Tmeya, so Rabbi Yumi asks Rabbi Zera, okay, so you're saying that she's Tommy if the blood came into the Bayis HaChitzon before she Toveled, but why? Why should she be Tomei? Tumah Blua. It's, after all, a Tumah that's still inside her body. The point is, in other words, that it's one. So Rashi says like this: it's one thing. Usually, we say Kol Noshim Matamet Bayis HaChitzon because it was a Re'ia she's Tomei on the grounds of Re'ia, and therefore she's Tomei on the grounds of Re'ia and Bivsara. So therefore, but over here, the difference is, really, what kind of tumor are we talking about? We're not talking about a tumor that she should be tumor another 7 days, after all. We're talking about a tumor, is she tumor because she touched and carried around this blood inside of her? Well, in that case, the usual rule of trauma stays at stardom, and trauma blue applies. It's only inside her, and therefore, so the,
if it's inside,
the, so therefore, Trinity should be Matami, her example. That's the question. So why are you saying that if the blood came out into the Bayis HaChitzon before she toveled, that should be Matami her when it, that it should be Matami her, and therefore after it comes out, she has to tovel again? Why? It's a trauma blue. Because here it's not creating a new trauma.
No, but
Bayis HaChitzon is still based on starting.
It is?
Yeah, it's still based on starting. We're saying, it's one thing we're saying to create a new tumma when you have a new re'iya, yes, it's starting, but here it's not a new re'iya. Here it's a continuation of the 2 weeks. We only want him to be Matame or Tumas Erev because she touched and carried tumma blood. But one. Amalei, so Rav Zera tells him, Zil Shaila L'Rav Ovin, go ask Rav Ovin, D'Azber Esnialei, because when I myself was a Talmud, I explained to him a possible reason for this, V'Kaukishli B'Reshe B'Medrusha. And he nodded his head to me in the Beis Medrash, implying that he accepted my answer. So therefore, so Rav Zera tells Rav Yemiya, go ask Rav Ovin, he approved of my answer before, and when you ask him, he'll tell you the same, he'll tell you that answer as well.
What was the answer?
Ozal Shaila, so Rav Yemiya goes and asks Rav Ovin, Amalei asa uha ki nivlas oiftaher. We treat it, in this sense, like a nivlas oiftaher, shematama begodim in Beis Abliya. Whereas we've learned many times before, a dead kosher bird that was not shechted, or had malika, or had proper malika, is matami a person and his clothes when he swallows it. So even though it's tuma blua, nevertheless you have it. It's still matame. So therefore, in this case is treated like that also.
Is considered blua.
Well, that's the point. But even though Tosfos adds, in other words, what Rav Ovin is saying, what Rav Zera has said, and Rav Ovin approved of, is that even though. That usually we wouldn't say that. Usually we're not machmir on tumah blua, but over here it's very easy to mistakenly think that she should, that this blood should be tahor. That's dam tahor now. So therefore we could say that the chachamim and we think it's tumah even when it comes out of her. It's already after the 2 weeks. It's already dam tahor. So therefore the chachamim would have reason to make a gzera over here and be machmir. The question is, though, me dummy, how could you compare it? How is it comparable to a nivlas oiftar?
Why would they say that?
Because usually a person has a tumah blua. It's not a normal thing to have a tumah blua in the first place,
right.
And it's unusual enough. The chacham don't have to make zeros about it. But here, it's very common, but it's very likely that people will mistakenly think when this blood comes out of her, hey, it's dam toyah. So therefore, it's not matana anything, and they're not going to realize that the fact is it came out into the Bayis HaChitzon before the 2 weeks were up, and therefore the blood itself is tameh. So therefore we're going to be matameh who even while it's inside. But the question is, how is it the same thing? Hasam ein la tumah b'chutz. In the case of a dead kosher bird, there's no other tumah for it outside the body. The sole case where it's matameh is where the person swallows it. Hacha, but over here, ki nafik labroi l'tami. L'tami. Here we should say, fine, when it comes out of the body, fine, you can say it's matame, like any other trauma, but why should we have to be gozer on the time when it is balua? The answer is, hacha nami b'shiyot l'chutz. The answer is, we could say that here also, we're talking about when it left the bein ashinayim before tevila, and came out into the bayit achitzin before tevila, fine, after she tovels, she is tahor, as long as it is in the Bayis HaChitzon. But once...
The Bayis HaChitzon is like hoofs.
No, we're saying the Bayis HaChitzon is still tumah blua. As long as it's within her, what we're saying is there's a difference. The fact that it came out of her womb, the fact that it came out of Bein HaShinayim before she tovels means it's still dam tame. But we're saying, as far as being the tame her, I mean, at this point already, you know, 2 weeks are up, she's toveling, and then any blood that comes out of her after that is already dam toyah, so she's already mutter to her husband. As long as this blood remains in the Bayis HaChitzon, fine, no problem, it's still a tumah blua.
Mm-hmm.
What we're going to say is, once it comes out of her, then it's going to be matameh, then she's going to have to go to the mikveh again because of that tumas erev.
So the
nivlas oiftaher only when the person swallows it as it matame him and his clothes.
Right, before
right.
It's not matame.
Right, that's what we're saying. So we're saying over here. That was the question over here. Given that it is able to be matame after it leaves her body, why should we say that it's matame her while it's inside her body? And the answer is we're not. We're actually saying that this blood that came out of her and stuck there and is stuck there in the vagina, is not, she tovels, fine. After that, she's mutter to her husband. Eventually, when that blood actually comes out, at that point, the outside of her body is touching it, and therefore it's mekameh her, for tumas erev, not tumas shiva again.
It's just the opposite of tumas erev. For an erev, it's when you swallow it that it's mekameh the begadim. And here the blood comes out and it's mekameh.
That's the point. In other words, so far, and we're not done the discussion yet, but so far we're saying that while it's inside, you're right. We're not gonna be gozer. No, that's the answer. Well, that's the answer. In other words, we're not really doing it like nivla sechtara. But the question is, in that case, once it comes out, then what's the chiddush? Obviously, it's blood that's tomei, and obviously it's mekameh. The answer is mahu dekeimer. You might have thought migo demah. Given that the tzvila is effective for blood that's still inside her, that's not in the bayis achesim, that's still inside her womb, or bein hashinayim, the tzvila is effective, yeah, because any blood that comes out of bein hashinayim after that is not tamei, right? So you would think once it's effective for that, you would think maybe the tzvila should also be effective for this blood that's already in the bayis achesim, kamash malan. So that answer, that therefore, that is the chiddush. That's the chiddush that we're saying that no, it's not. The tzvila itself does not help it. It's true that as long as it's within her, it's not metame her because it's from a blua. But once it comes out, then it's like it's reactivated.
It's hard, basically.
Sort of, yeah. So the question is, okay, in that case, shmaitin ifrik. Okay, well then, that in that case, then now remember, how did we get into this? We asked the question. We had a braisa that shmaitin. Okay, so let me explain. We started with a braisa that mentioned various cases where metamis b'shnim kabachutz, and one of them was a yeledet. We asked, what do we need to mention the yeledet separately? Isn't it covered by the cases of nida and zava?
Right.
So we answered, we're talking about this case of a woman who went down to tovel after the 2 weeks. And so we asked questions on it, now we answered. Shmaitin ifrik. So now our discussion, the statement of Reb Zera, which we were asking, Tumah Bluahi, we've now been able to answer it. That he doesn't mean it's metame while it's inside her, he means it's metame once it comes out. But in that case, Ela yeledet, but we're back to the question on the braisa, ibime nida nida ibime ziva ziva. So then we thought we could use Reb Zera's statement to answer it. But now that we explain that Reb Zera's statement is actually only saying that she told me once this blood comes out of her, then we're back to why do we need to mention the yeledet? So the answer is it should be either nida or zava, as the case may be. The answer is hoch maiskin and belay the yaveshta. The answer is the braisa is talking about a different case where it was a dry birth, so there's no blood came out. She's not a nida, she's not a zava. So the question is in that case, Lady Yaveshta Mai Matam Bifnim Kabachotika, then in that case there's no blood. What Bifnim and Bachot is there to talk about? The answer is you're going to Shahoti Vlad Roshe Chutla Proiser. The answer is what we're talking about is that the baby stuck out its head outside the proiser. The proiser is again is the cervix. The proiser is some part. We learned in the second parak when we learned about cheder aliyah and proiser. We talked about the possibilities that proiser may mean the entire vagina. It may mean the outer area. That it may mean the outer lips of it. Whatever. We talked about a couple of possibilities. So here we're talking about the baby stuck out its head outside the proiser. So even though the head is in the bayis achitzon, but it's already considered born. The chiddur of Oshia. So therefore, in other words, it would be like Rav Oshia's din. The Amr of Oshia.
Why is it considered born? We said when the head bulges outside.
No, what we said is once it comes. No, that's what we're saying. Matamas b'fnim k'b'chitzen. We're saying that once the baby's head is in the proizer, then already it's considered born.
The
proizer being either the vagina, either the birth canal, the vagina itself, or being the outer lips of it. You have different possibilities. Anyway, the point is, given shahotzi vlad roshe, what's the proizer? Suppose the baby stuck out its head outside the proizer, the chidr of Oshia. So therefore, this goes like what Rav Oshia says. To Amr of Oshia. We had a case over there where the baby died in the womb, and we said a midwife stuck her hand into the womb and touched the dead baby in there. So we said the midwife is tomei from having touched a mess. So we asked why, isn't it a tumah blua, because it's inside the woman's body. And the reason is because it was only midrabanan, a gzera, because the baby might have stuck out its head outside the proizder, and then she, out into the proizder, rather, and then she, or outside the proizder, meaning into the birth canal, and then she touches it. Once it comes out, it's already considered born. It's not a tumah blua anymore. So therefore, so the same way as the, so the same way as Matame the as Matame the midwife, just if that were to happen, so the same way as Matame the mother, once the head comes out, once the head comes out into the prozo.
So the prozo being the vagina.
So there's two major possibilities what the prozo is. Either it means the vagina, or it means the labia majora.
Right. Yeah. Let's say it means the vagina.
Let's say it means the vagina. So once the head is in the vagina, is in the birth canal, then already it's considered born, mahalacha.
Right.
So therefore, and therefore, so in particular, it's not a tumor bluah, and at that point, it's metama the mother with birth. So that's what we mean. When we say yeledes, metama b'fnim kabachot, we mean even before the baby actually comes out of her, even while it's still inside her, but it's in the birth canal, she's already tummy, right? Even if there was no blood.
Even if there was no blood.
Even if there was no blood. Right.
Same thing should be said about blood that comes out into the closer.
Well, that's the same thing. In other words, there's a din that applies to blood, and there's a similar din that applies to the baby. So they're two different things. That's what we're saying. That's the chiddush I'm mentioning in the yeledes. We're talking about there was no blood accompanying the birth. It was later yebeshta. But still, the fact that the baby's head itself came out into the perozer is enough to be metamic already. Okay.
And then she's too much yeledes.
And she's too much yeledes at that point. Right. That's what we're saying. Okay. Should be continued back to channel.